Well, today is the last great feast of Eastertide before Pentecost, the Feast of the Ascension. And everything that this Feast of the Ascension means for us, we can find in that sublime passage from the letter to the Ephesians that is our second reading today. Now, you know, I'm beginning to think there's something very mystical about the number three. I mean, we got three divine persons in the Trinity, and Father Fogarty, I think, always uses 3 points, right? You know, and here it is again. I mean, looking at and praying over the scripture yesterday, it tells us the three things that this feast means for us. And those three things are these. Number one, it's all in who you know. Number two, Jesus is the head of the church. And number three, we are Jesus' body. Paul talks about all these things in our second reading, and they are what this feast means for us. Number one, it's all in who you know. Paul says that Jesus is enthroned at God's right hand. And so he prays for us in our second reading that we will all be given the spirit of wisdom and perception of what is revealed, so that we may be brought to full knowledge of Christ. Elsewhere in Scripture, Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 8, he talks about the supreme advantage of knowing Christ Jesus. Why is that a supreme advantage? Because in the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 25, we are told that Jesus, our high priest, ever lives to make intercession for us. He whom Paul says in today's reading is enthroned at God's right hand, ever living to make intercession for us, ever there to be our advocate and our intercessor. So, if we are friends with Jesus, if we know Jesus as friends know each other, if we are walking in his company, then as Paul says today, we know one who is far above every principality, ruling force, power, sovereignty, and any other name that can be named. So, if it's all in who you know, it's worth the investment of our time and energy to know Jesus Christ, who is enthroned at God's right hand and is far above every power. But to know Jesus is a gift of God's grace. And so that's something that we can pray to the Holy Spirit for, as Paul prays for us, that we will have that spirit of wisdom and perception to really come to full knowledge of Jesus. Number two, what the Feast of the Ascension means, as Paul tells us, is that Jesus is head of the church. Now, we, all of us who are baptized, we are the church. So that means Jesus must be our head. The church together and each one of us who make up the church, Jesus must be head. We know how it works with our physical body. The head governs everything that our body does. And so that's why we must submit our hearts to Jesus so that he is the one who rules what we do. Biblically, the heart is the inner part, the most inner part of who we really are. It's the heart that the Bible says that God sees. It's the heart that God judges. And it's very sobering to me to discover in Acts chapter 8, verse 21, that St. Peter suggests that we can have a warped heart. We can have that very inner part of who we are can be warped. And that we may look entirely different on the outside, and yet our heart may not be ruled by Christ. Outward appearances don't mean anything to God. It's the heart that God sees. And Jesus says to the Pharisees in Luke chapter 16, verse 15, and You know, we should always listen very carefully whenever Jesus talks to Pharisees, because they were the good religious people at the time. They weren't. And he says this to them. He says, "You are the very ones who pass yourselves off as upright in people's sight. But God knows your heart, for what is highly esteemed in human eyes is loathsome in the sight of God." You see, there can be all kinds of things that are ruling our heart that is not Jesus. Chief among them is our own ego, which is a raging beast, which wants to direct all the attention to our own self-interest and to delude us into self-righteousness, that we are always right. And if it's not our raging ego that is ruling what we do in the very inner part of who we are, then it's any one of the other seven deadly sins. We know the seven deadly sins. Pride is the first one, which has its seat in the ego. Then there's also sloth, greed, wrath, lust, envy, gluttony. Any one of these things can, in the very inner part of who we are, rule what we do and direct what we do. And so this feast calls us to look at our hearts and see who is ruling there. Jesus, who Paul says is the head of the church, is he the head of what we do? Is he the one who rules in our heart? And so we must seek to have that pure and simple and docile heart so that Jesus rules everything we do, not our ego or not any other sin. Again, this is something that we should pray to the Holy Spirit for as we approach Pentecost, that the Holy Spirit will purify our hearts, give us a pure heart, and help us to give it over to Jesus so that he will rule everything that we do. Now, this is expressed very beautifully in a prayer by Dom Columba Marmion, Blessed Columba Marmion, in one of his wonderful books. He was a great Benedictine abbot in the first quarter of the 20th century. This feast calls us to make a radical submission of our hearts to the lordship of Jesus Christ. And when I say radical, I mean radical, and this is brought out in Blessed Columba Marmion's prayer. He prays to Jesus, "I submit myself to you entirely, body, soul, judgment, will, heart, sensibility, imagination, all my energies. I wish to follow you as my chief, and that your gospel may be my light and your will my guide." And then he makes this wonderful play on Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. He says, "I wish neither to think otherwise than as you think, because you are the infallible truth, nor to act without you, because you are the only way to go to the Father, nor to seek my joy outside your will, because you are the very fountain of life. Possess me wholly through your Spirit for the glory of the Father." That's the kind of radical submission that this Feast of the Ascension calls us to make to Jesus, who is head of the church. And the third thing that this Feast of the Ascension means for us, that Paul teaches us in our second reading, is that we are Christ's body. Paul says in our second reading that we who are the baptized, we who are the church, are the pleroma of Christ. That is translated into English as his fullness. We who are the baptized are the fullness of Jesus. And that means that each one of us, and I mean it, every single one of us here today who are baptized, every single one of us so different from each other in our gifts, in our abilities, in our vocations, each of us is necessary that the fullness of Christ be in the world. We, each of us, make up the fullness of Christ in his body. If one of us isn't there, it ain't the fullness of Christ. The church is to be the fullness of Christ. We are each necessary for that. And that is why we must always seek to be one body. One body. You know, every Mass, we ask the Holy Spirit to come down twice. The first time is when we ask the Holy Spirit to come down and change the bread and wine into the body and blood of Jesus. The second time, we ask the Holy Spirit to come down and make us one body. So we should always seek to be united, to work together, and to love each other, so that, as the fourth Eucharistic prayer prays, that we, the fullness of Christ on earth, may complete Christ's work on earth. And that is why unity is so important, that we pray for every Mass, that we are united with each other, that we are united with our pastors, because the greatest work of Satan is to divide. The axiom holds true: Jesus unites, Satan divides. That's how we can always know his work. So, traditionally, as you know, Ascension used to be on a Thursday. You know, and it is in some provinces in the United States, but in our province of Baltimore, the Feast of the Ascension is transferred to this Sunday. Knowing that it used to be on a Thursday, and still is in some places, it was the ancient tradition that from the Feast of the Ascension to the Feast of Pentecost, which is 9 days, that be a special time of a novena to the Holy Spirit. What does a novena mean? It simply means 9 days of prayer. And so as we continue in this novena of preparation for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, this feast directs us to pray perhaps for three things. Number one, that we may be brought to that full knowledge of Jesus Christ. Number two, that he may truly be the head of our body, the head of the church, that he may rule in our heart and direct what we do, that we may have that pure, simple, and docile heart, that Jesus rules the very inner part of who we are. And number three, to pray for peace and unity in the church so that we will in fact be the pleroma, the fullness of Christ on this earth. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen.